Okay, as everyone's passing out the color sheets, I just want to first mark our, which is not in the Bar-Ilan, so I couldn't find it in the Bar-Ilan, so I photostatted this for you. Simply brings us back to last Wednesday. Not want to bring you to Chlushas Hadas, but I want to expiate my own Chlushas Hadas. If you recall, a week ago I got all confused, all combobulated, and only on Sunday did I make a seder out of the matters. And Bednarz pointed out to me, when I was expressing to him my frustration, that the frustration was also expressed by the Urim himself. And so I felt much better, and I just wanted you to see it inside. And just to go back a little, we had discussed the sugya of Kamen Giraudmime, and pointed out that when we have one victim to whom we have two punishments that are coming, in other words, then the onesh chamor overrides the onesh kal. The nisa overrides the mamon. When we have two victims, so then do we say mamon lazeh nefashos lazeh or not? We have a stira between the sugyos. So Rashi took the easy road to a certain degree and said, it's a machokes amoroyim. Do we say kamen d'ravina even with two victims or only with one victim? Our problem was, and this is what Tosfos, the Rebbe himself, asked on Rashi, how can you say it's machokes amoroyim with a Mishnah? How can we have a machokes amoroyim if we have a black and white Mishnah that if someone lights a gadish and kills an eved and damages someone else's property, the Mishnah says that in that situation that there is coming to drabbing there, that there's no payment, even though it's mamon lazeh nefashos lazeh. How can you have machokas Rav Ashi and Rava against the Mishnah? And so therefore, Tosfos went in different directions. We saw that the Rebbe had his direction, and Rabbeinu Tam had his direction. However, if you look on the top source over here, this is a photostat from the Rashmi Shantz. Okay, there's a parish of Rashmi Shantz on Ksubas. So on the top of the first bullet, the first line, fourth word, the Rabbeinu, namely the Rebbe of the Rashmi Shantz, who was the Rebbe, Rabbeinu hayarotza v'chavek ulekayim divrei Rashi. He wants to say that Rashi is really correct. The Hacha, and really we have over here a difference between the Mishnah and the world of Rava and Rav Ashi. The Hacha choshev misa lazeh v'tashumim lazeh lefi shehin shnei ma'asim achilas truma kriyat shirayim v'chein bito shel ploni v'huzmo yecholim lehoir alav below habat v'habat below hu. Namely that when we have two actions that occur simultaneously, there we have a machlokes amoraim. But go down to the fifth line, or the fourth line, aval, that's the fourth word, aval hamadik yasagodesh akoyde maase echadba. But when you have one act with two results, then we certainly say, kamle midir abamine. One act with two results, kamle midir abamine. Two acts simultaneously, that's a machlokes amoraim. Ilka choshim misal betashluman le'echad. So the Rashba says, what happened in the base medrash? The Hikshesi the Rabbeinu. I asked the Ri, what do we do with our Gemara and our son and Sanhedrin the Testament days? Mehodama Rav Yosef here come to the Sanhedrin. Hevi Baal, Edim Shizun, so Hevi Yaav, Edim Zimun, Edi Habal Nerodim, Ve'en Meshamin Mamon, Chazar Ve'Hevi Baal, Edim Vizimun, Edi Yaav Nerodim, Umeshamin Mamon. Mamon was a perush baal who wrote some absida ksuvasa and afashos leedim shehin mizimin. That's the case. If we ask what categories that come under, when you have eidim zomim who say imanu heisim, we have one act of a haggadah imanu heisim that has two results. That's like the Mishnah, and in the Mishnah we say kamei drabanei, and here in the Gemara it says that mamon lazeh unefashos lazeh. It's one act. Why in the world should you say mamon lazeh unefashos lazeh? It's like the Mishnah. So what does the Rashmi Shantz add? The kibel Rabbeinu et dvar Hashem. Namely, that the Ri agreed that he was wrong. The Ri agreed that what I'm saying is dvar Hashem. What I'm saying is correct. Namely, that the Ri agreed that what we said is untenable, because it goes against the Gemara and Daf Tes. Now this goes farther, if you recall. My whole cheshbon was that if it was explained the Ri well enough, we'll be able to understand our Gemara as well. The Ri certainly knew our Gemara. The Ri, before he wrote it, he knew all the Gemaras. And so that's why I got all confused last Wednesday, that I was trying to explain the Ri as clearly as I could, but Bechozot kept coming up with a wall of our Gemara. And I just, so I just started all over and said, okay, the Rashba has a question. I don't know how to answer the question. Probably there's an answer, but I don't know how to answer. But then Rabbi Dadish pointed out to me, no, the Ri himself didn't know the answer. The Ri himself. At the Bar Hashem, the Ri simply threw up his hands. So, I feel much better now knowing that we weren't able to answer a question for the Ri that the Ri himself wasn't able to answer. So we come down that there are really two explanations that will explain all the cases. Either the explanation of Rabbeinu Tam or the explanation of the Riva that we spoke about on Sunday. Okay, so Sunday Shiur is fine. Wednesday Shiur, just delete. Okay, I felt much better when I saw that. Well, it's probably there is. I really feel the chiluk of the Riva is a beautiful chiluk, and but it just doesn't help us here because it's. It just doesn't, what can we do? Our Gemara is against it.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Yes. Where would you go about by finding an answer if Rabbi Benesh wouldn't have pointed out to you?
You don't always have to find answers. Sometimes the answer will come 5 years down the road. Next time, I don't know, maybe we'll learn some Hebrew 15 years from now in the Kola, and the Kola should give you the strength to continue teaching, and maybe then I'll come up with an answer. Not always do you come up with answers. I asked Rabbi Benesh, did you come up with an answer? Because last year, or 2 years, I went reading Ksuvus.
Last year,
we learned Ksuvus, so we learned this stuff. I looked back in my notes. I didn't have an answer. So I asked Rabbi Benesh, did you find an answer? So he looked back in his notes and said, I didn't find an answer, but I found the Rash Mishans, who says that there is no answer. And it says that the Ri himself, Kibbutz at Tvar Hashem, the Ri simply surrendered to the reality of the Gemara on that personal days. Okay. Okay, so it's good to know that there's a reality that's a good check and a balance on our. You can come up with all the best theories, but if the theory is a famous story of Reb Chaim, who wanted to test his Talmidim, and so he gave them a whole pupil proving to them Chametz is mutar on Pesach, and asked them to shlug him up, and they spent a whole day in this medrash, and they couldn't break his logic. So they came to him, we don't know what's wrong with your logic. He said, nothing wrong with my logic, but the pasuk in the Torah that says, namely, you have all the logic in the world, but if it's against the Torah, then it's it just throws the logic out the window. Okay, so over here, we have the beautiful logical distinction between the world of the Mishnah and the worlds of Ashi and Rav. It's a beautiful logical distinction, and we pointed out that this fits in with the Ramban, as to whether the smaller onesh is swallowed up by the larger onesh, or Rashi, that we're dealing with the world of Beis Din, and in the world of Beis Din, there we can distinguish between one party and two parties. It makes so much sense, but if it's wrong, it's wrong. Okay, I feel, it's sort of mitzchuni, okay, so that's, Sir Benesh told me he's not even going to mention the reading Shir this year, because it's wrong. Okay. Tov, okay, now with that behind us, I hope it's behind us now, I can sleep at nights. Okay, now we're moving over into a sugi we began last time, where we have Rav Yosef's statement, five lines from the bottom on Daf Tes in the days, Ploni Rivo'o Lo'onso, that if a person is made that he was sodomized by another individual against his will, namely the sodomizer, the Ploni, is a Rasha, and he is a tzaddik, who is a victim, so who va'achem mitztachem lo'hago, he can be an aid. He can be an aid on Ploni. And if you have other aid, then that's enough to kill Ploni. However, if he says, Ploni Rivo'o Lo'ritzono, if he says, I was a willing partner in this Aveira, then Rasha Hu V'Hatorah Amra Altashes Rasha Aid. Then his aid just falls off altogether because he's not Naman Al-Atzmo. This is Rabbi Lam quoted this Gemara to the Supreme Court. when there was the famous case of Miranda versus United States about an individual who confessed to a crime, and the courts wanted to prosecute him based on his confession, and the case got to the Supreme Court as to whether the confession is enough to say someone confessed, I murdered so-and-so. There was no evidence, just his confession. And Lamb wrote that in our lore of in Adam Mesim Atzma Russia, there's no such thing as self-incrimination. You know, it's on the level of nefashos, and as such, we don't accept the testimony. That, you know, and that's when they set up the Miranda law, that you have to, the police have to tell an individual that his confession is not going to, you know, he doesn't have to confess, and his confession isn't going to incriminate him, etc.
Was they, in that case, that they had forced him to confess, or they pressured him to...
They didn't tell him that he doesn't have to confess. They didn't inform him of his rights to remain silent. And so Rabban pointed out that according to our tradition, Ein Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha, that the person is not believed on himself. People have all sorts of reasons why they would sometimes confess to something that they didn't do, and we don't believe the person to say he's a Rasha. Rava Amar Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo Ve'ein Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha. Rava understood differently, and here we have our Torah Shebaal Peh, that Rava understood that Paginan Digura, namely that we can accept the testimony that he says on Plani and not accept the testimony he says on himself. That we have a machlokas over here between Rava and Rav Yosef, whether we say Paginan Digura or we do not say Palginan Dibura. Are we willing to simply erase a part of the testimony and maintain the rest of the testimony? Rava says that we can prosecute the other individual even though and simply erase the part of the testimony that the person is relating to himself. So we pointed out that this theme of Palginan Dibura of Rava we find here, that Ploni Ravani Goritzoni, so we say Ploni will be prosecuted by the court, and the person who is sodomized will not be prosecuted because, in other words, we only have on him one aid, while on the other person we have two aidim. Who Adim saw later on in the Gemara on Daf Kafhei, where we have the testimony Ploni Hilvani Beribis, he was the Malva, I was the Lova. There are two Isurim. There's an Isur to lend money, Beribis is an Isur to borrow money, Beribis. We're going to say that Ploni, this is another witness, that Ploni will be Pasul Eidus, but the Lova won't be Pasul Eidus based on his own testimony. And we saw, it goes as far as the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Kafei, that when we have a witness, we only need one witness to say that a person's husband died, when he says that person, I know he died because I killed him, we're going to believe him that the person died, but not that he killed him. Then we'll believe this individual, but this woman can now go ahead and get married to some third party, and we won't say, just a minute, if you killed him, it means you're a Russia. So on that part, we won't believe him, but on the part that he's dead, we will believe him. So we have this theme of Pogina and Dibura. On the other hand, we had a stira, Tosas pointed out from the Sugya, on Daf Yuches Amud Beis in Ksuvus, that we, even though Midoraisa Shtar stands on its own two feet, Midrabanan Shtar requires a kiyum, that we have to verify the signatures. And there are two ways of having a kiyum. Either that Aiden will come from the outside, or another shtar will come, and we can compare handwritings and say this is their handwriting, or the witnesses themselves will come and testify this is my handwriting. So the question is, what if two witnesses come and say this is our handwriting, it's really us, but anusim hayinu machmas nefashos, a gun was put to our head and we were forced to sign a false statement, so we believe it. They're not making themselves rishayim. You're allowed to sign something false to save your life. There's no yehori v'yavor on nidvar sheker tirchak.
And so they remain tzaddikim, and they're basically saying that this shtar that we created with our signatures, we're also now going to invalidate with our testimony. That's their prerogative. They have pesha asar, a pesha hitir. The shtar that they created, they can invalidate. But what if they say anusim hayino machmas mamon, that we were bribed, namely that we were shy, that we took money to lie? So we say, in that case, that they are not believed to invalidate the shtar, right? And because Eino Bemeisim Masar, why don't we say Pagit Nibura? Why don't we say that we were Anusim Hayinu, that we believe them, they were forced, and leave out the Ayuvei Mama, leave out the money. Namely, why don't we, the same way that by us we accept the testimony halfway, why don't we accept the testimony halfway over there as well? That they can disqualify the shtar by saying, Anusim Hayinu, we were forced. It's really not true. That would disqualify the shtar. And the machmas mamon, the bribe, on that we will believe them. That's Tosis's question. And so we have a number of answers to this question. The first of them we saw last time was Tosis himself. That Tosis himself said, we have a precedent for this as well. We have a Gemara in Baba Basra and Daf Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, that if a husband says, I divorced my wife 30 days ago, he is not believed. He is not believed to say that he divorced his wife 30 days ago, because to say you divorced your wife, you know, you're one witness. This is a David and the Arab, you need two Adim. But if a husband would say, I divorced my wife now, we would believe him because the yado now to give a get, so he has a migo. We would believe that statement to say. So the question is, maybe we should believe him when he says I divorced my wife 30 days ago. Maybe we should believe him from now on and not from before. Maybe why don't we say pagina divura, that we'll believe him that he divorced his wife from now, but retroactively we won't believe him. In other words, why don't we make that split? So the Gemara was bothered by that. The Gemara asks, Rava says Pogina Dibura. Why don't we say Pogina Dibura in that case? The Gemara says, Hosam Tre Gufe, Hacha Chad Gufa. So Tosis understands that Gemara to mean what? What is Chad Gufa and Tre Gufe?
People.
Gufa is talking about the body of a person. That when we're dealing with two people, I can say Pogina Dibura. Namely, that he will be believed on party X, but he will not be believed on party Y, who's himself. In other words, when you have two people, you have yourself and someone else, we can say that you're believed on the other party, but you're not believed on yourself. We'll believe him on the Roveya, not on the Nirva. We'll believe him on the Malva, not on the Rove. We'll believe him on the Harug, and not on the Horig. Right? In other words, we have two people, but in the case of Gerashdias Ishti, how many people do we have? One. We have one person. It's a question of time, to split the time. That we don't say. So who has anybody, in terms of the Einam, when they say, Anusim Hayinu, Machmas Mamam, how many people do we have? One. The Einam themselves. And so when we're dealing with one individual, we don't say Poginam Dibura. We can split a testimony dealing with two people. We can't split a testimony dealing with one person. That's Tosis's Teretz. Our problem was last time, what was our problem? How did we leave this year last time with Tosos? Mishna. What difference does it make? If we're talking about a principle that we can take an Eidus and splice it and split it, etc., Mina Gamina, if we're talking about one person or two people, why should that be a relevant factor? In other words, the question is of simply erasing, deleting a part of the testimony. Why? Let's say I gave shiur last week, so on last Wednesday. So the first 15-20 minutes of shiur was clear. The rest of it was total bull. So why can't I just go to Rav Shor and say, leave the first 15-20 minutes on YU Torah, take off the rest. Just delete it, that's all. In other words, if we have a principle, Pagina Dibura, so why not just delete? Might have community on one person or two people, why should that make a difference? So that remains an issue, but we have an alternate perush of that same Gemara in which this issue will not arise. And that's what I quoted over here, right underneath the photo stab, in the Chidushi HaRitva, in Baba Basra, and Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Beis. This I sent you also to the Shita Mekubetzes in Suvas, in the name of the Ra'a, but simply in order to be able to put it on one page, I left out the Shita Mekubetza, in which the Ra'a is Ma'arich, and just brought the Ritva, who says everything, the Kitzur Nimratz. Okay, so what is the, so the Gemara asks, Umay Shnama Midarava Gamar Ploni Bo Al Ishti, why do we say Pagin and Hibura according to Rava in Sanhedrin and Daf Tes and Daf Yud, in Sanhedrin and Daf Kafe, in Yuvamos and Daf Kafe, and not say it in Boravasuk of Gamad David, Hachinami Matzi Parech Gamar Ploni Revolver with Subno, Ella Chada Minayhu Nakat, and the Gemara says, Betray Gufe, Palgina Dibure, that there is a difference between one guf and two gufim. So, Pirish Rabbeinu Shmuel, says the Ritva, the Rashbam, who is one of the Balei HaTosfos, he said, Trey Gufe, Mamsh, Gan Shemei, Shamal Oza Ploni, Va'al Ishto. When you have two people, you say Palgina Dibure. Avavacha, Guf Echad Meir, Dehi Ishto. Here we don't say Palgina Dibure on one person. However, Mori Natri Rahmana Uparke, Natri Rahmana Uparke is like we would say nowadays, he should live at Meir Ve'esrim, right? Natri Rahmana Uparke, the God should watch over him and bring him salvation. This is a way of saying he's still alive, as opposed to Zichrono Livracha. Okay? Mori Natri Rahmana Uparke, who was the Rebbe of the Ritva? What? Could be the Rashba, could be the Rava. Okay, Umori Piresh, Tre Gufe, but let's say it's the Ra'ah, because we have this in the Ra'ah in Ksubas, okay? Umori Natrech Marapaki Piresh, Tre Gufe, Eidus. We're not talking about bodies of people. What are we talking about?
Testimony.
Bodies of testimony. How would you say bodies of testimony in a more colloquial manner in English? What are two bodies as opposed to one body?
Cases. Or dinim.
Or stories. The question is, how many stories do we have in this testimony? Do we have one story, or do we have two stories that are combined? Ploni, Ravani, Loritzoni are two stories that are combined. So-and-so sodomized, and I was sodomized. In other words, he could have sodomized by someone else, I could have been sodomized by someone else, but we're putting two stories together. By saying, he is dead and I killed him, those are two stories that we are artificially connecting. By saying, he lent me money in interest, I'm saying he lent money in interest, and I borrowed money in interest. We're two stories that are combined. When we have two stories that are combined, I can say, Palgina Dibura. But when we have one story, then I can't say Palgina Dibura. I can't break one story. To say I divorced my wife, that's one story. I can't break it into two. To say this, to say we were forced by money, I can't say we were forced and then by money. I mean, we were, you know, it's one story that we felt monetary pressure to sign a lie. We felt monetary pressure. I can't say we felt a monetary pressure. So this is this distinction is not that we have one person or two people. That is Tosafos' distinction. It's a technical distinction, but it doesn't have anything to do with Pagina Dibura. But do we have over here one story or two stories? That has a lot to do with Pagina Dibura. We can break two stories, even if a person combined them in terms of his syntax, but if we can break it into two stories, then we can say Pagina Dibura. But if there's no way of breaking it into stories, because it's only one story, then we don't say Pagina Dibura. That's the approach of the Ra'a, carried by his student, the Ritva. Okay, yes?
You think with Ploni Ravana, what exactly do you cut it in half? Ploni Rava without the me?
So according to Tosfos, we distinguish between two parties, Ploni and me. Right?
But then you have an incomplete testimony.
No, we don't have to know. In order to be mechayev someone for sodom, you don't know who the victim was.
You don't?
No. The victim, let's say you see someone sodomize an individual, a bear go over his head. You have no idea. I mean, the devil is head of the victim. You have no idea who the victim was, but you could be mayor that on Yom Rivi'i, Kaf Dalet Shvat, in the Gruz classroom, I saw someone sodomize a man.
That's considered,
if two people say that, right? Then that's how Pishnayim Eidim Yakum. We don't have to know who the victim is.
What about saying you with knowing the person, you can still split it up in this case of because he says the Ritzoni is the second story.
According to whom?
According to the Ritva.
According to the Ritva, we have over here two stories, as opposed to, it's not a question of two people, it's a question of two stories. Okay, so that is the direction of the Ritva. The problem is that of the Ritva and the Rava, if we take that approach, so how do you have a machlokes between Rav Yosef and Rava? I mean, isn't that obvious that we can say Paldinam Dibura when we have two stories and say we'll believe one story and not believe the other story? In other words, why do you have to come on to a deed of Rava? Isn't it something that even without Rava telling us Paldinam Dibura, we would know that a person tells two stories and one of them he's totally Ne'ema and the other one he's Mezim Atzma Rasha, so we'll believe one and not believe the other? In other words, that question was raised by the Rambam. Namely, sometimes, no, it's according to the Ri, we ask, what's the logic? According to the Ra'ah and the Ritva, the logic is so clear. Do we need a halacha? Should this be a machokes amorayim? Isn't this something which is obvious? That's what the Ramban was bothered by. Look in the next section, Shin Medvetz is from Ramban Zal Kosav. V'ukimna, Eva, Itmar Aresha, Itmar Roshanu, etc. He's simply quoting the Gemara over there in Ksubas and Dafyut Testament days, where we find Rava stating saying his statement. Aval Anusim Hayinu Machmas Mamam Ein Adam Mesim Atzma Rasha. And now the Ramban adds, Unehemde Bemai De Kaamre Ksav Yavenu Huze. What Ramban does so brilliantly is. What Ramban does is that we have been discussing, we have Eidim who come and say, Ksav Yavenu Huze, Aval Anusim Hayinu Machmas Mama. Okay? What we've been discussing up to now is the question as to whether I can make a lot over here. Do we say over here, Paginan Dibura, that we'll believe them Anusim Hayinu, but we won't believe them on Machmas Mamon? And the Gemara says, ignores the concept of Dibura, so we can't make that line. And that was what we were bothered by. Why now is the Q make a line, and why over there can't we make a line? So Moses says, because this is one person. And the Ra'ah and the Ritva say, because it's one story. Okay, fine. But the Ramban points out, just a minute, let's take a step back and look at the whole statement. When we say that we can't make this line, right? We don't make this line, but what line do we make? This line we do make. Namely, that when these Eidim come and say, Ksadiyah Deinu Huzeh, these are our signatures. But we were bribed. So we say, this we have to take as one whole statement. This we take as one whole statement. We can't say Pogim Dibura on this. And therefore, on this, they are not believed. They're making themselves into Rishayim. However, what do we believe them on? We say that this is considered to be a Kiyum Shtar. That these witnesses are validating their own signatures. So over here we said we don't say Palinan, but over here we do make this split. So the question is, the fact that we don't say Palinan over here, we have Tosfos, we have the Ra'ah. Two reasons why we don't say Palinan over here. But the fact that we make a split over here, how do we understand that? Look at the Ramban. Umehemne, the second line, the third word, Umehemne b'mayde ka'amrek sadya deinu huzeh, V'afilu l'man do'amak lo pagiyan dibura v'tre milay nina. V'yesh aforashim wadol v'nafshay mitaretz tahunan pagiyan dibura v'lashan rishon hira. Namely, the Ramban over here raises a hakira, the fact that we make this lip over here, why do we make this lip? Is this because we're working over here? I'm sorry. What's left on the table? Is this because we're working over here with Rava, who holds generally Pagina Dibura? Rava holds Pagina Dibura. So he said, Sadia Deo, he's ever believe. I'm using Masmami won't believe. I, if it was hold that Rava, why not make it over here to split as well? So Tosis gives his answer. There are others in answer. Or did he say this is Lukukama? This is not a question of Rava as opposed to Rav Yosef. This is agreed upon by everyone that these are Trey. What's his language? Trey Dignity. That this is clearly two stories. One story is this our, are these our signatures? And secondly, why did we sign? No. So these are two stories. These are our signatures. Why did we sign? So there, we can believe them on one story, and not on the other story. To say these are our signatures, that's an objective reality. To say that we were Rishayim and we were right, ain't our Damesim, that's my Russia. Nothing to do with the Avina, nothing to do with the world of Rav Yosef and Rava. And Ramban says, this is the pshat, because the Gemara never says that the linking in with Rava on this ratio. The Gemara, in other words, that's what he continues. The Roshan Rishon Nira, the one assigned it, Maramachi, the Gemara never links our mission with Rava. In other words, then how could Rava say disagree? V'ika man d'rami v'nifnu du diburei hachi v'neim anusim heinu machmas naman ka'osa shamu upkani rabai ratzano, etc. Mar doesn't have that, the whole hemshech that it has in Sanhedrin, that it has in the Ramos, etc. Machmas, that this is simply the reality of the situation, the Kulei Alma. So what the Ramban is pointing out over here, that really what we have are three different levels. Three totally different levels. We have one level of two stories that Eid and Tell, that Kuleyama, everyone agrees, are two stories and lend themselves to be broke. We have another case down here, we have one story, and that according to everyone, even according to Rava, we don't say Pagina. And then we have a middle level where we have Tikur Echad, Shiyitachem, Lechavei, Lebez Sipurim. We have where the Eidim say something in a context, in a syntax of one, but it's possible to break up. And this is a Machlokes Rav Yosef and Rava. And this is what we call Pagina Dibura. Okay? Namely, we have one case of two stories, Ksav Yirinu Ruzer, Avol Anusim Hayinu Machmas Mama. Those are two stories. That's nothing to do with Pagina Dibura. Even Rav Yosef, who doesn't call Pagina Dibura, agrees that if Eidim come and take and say two stories, and one they believe and one they not believe, we take the reason we can divide. Then we have cases that are clearly one story. I divorced my wife 30 days ago. That's one story. We were forced by money. That's one story. There, everyone agrees that we do not say Pagina Dibura. And then we have the cases of Ploni Rabbani, where it's only, in other words, Mesha Harektiv, that was the other case, Ploni Hilmori Kesef Aribis. Those are syntax, one story, it's one sentence, but through the analogical plan we have over here, the stories, do we divide or not? That's the machlokes between Rav Yosef and Rava. And of course, we have a problem of what fits into category A, what fits into category B, and what fits into category C. Namely, up to now, you know, we sort of have a framework, But I sent you to a Gemara in Makos, where this framework is totally shattered. Look at the Gemara, in other words, the next line that we have on the source sheet. I'm sorry that part of this Torah will be Torah Shabbat, and part of it will remain Torah Shabbat. Okay? We have a Gemara in Makos of Zion on the Aleph.
Take us out of Florida, bring us at least back to Yerushalayim.
Okay. We have a Gemara that says, Ira v'Tuvia, we have two Jews, Kreve d'Arva Have, they happen to be related to the guarantor on a loan, to Arev. Sava Rapapa Lemehar, Rav Papa has a Havamina, Gabi Malvegova the Malve Rukike Hindu. That even though they are related to the Arev, but since they are not related to either the Malve or the Lova, they are allowed to testify regarding the loan. Okay? Within the loan we have a Malve, a lender, a Lova, the borrower, and we have the Arev, the guarantor. The witnesses are related to the guarantor, but not related to the Malva or the Lova. Are they Neman regarding the loan? So comes along Rav Papa and says, L'chore, they're Neman. Amale Rav Huna, Pedro Mishuva Rav Papa, Ilesle Lova, Lav Basar Arva, Asu Malva. I don't understand how you can say that. If the Lova defaults, if the Lova doesn't pay, so where is the Malva going to turn to for his money?
Right.
To the Arev. So aren't these two witnesses, by testifying relating to the loan, aren't they testifying a testimony that relates to their to the Karov? Okay? Now, what exactly are these Adim testifying? So here we have a Machlokes Rishonim. When we learn the Gemara Daf Yomi, we learn Rashi. Right? So what does Rashi say? Ira v'tuva, Ede halva. We're talking about Adim on the essence of the existence of the loan. They come to Beis Din and say, we're talking about a loan which is not in writing, right? Two Adim come and say, we saw the Malva lend the load of money. That's the case. And they happen to be clothing to the Arev and not to the Malva and the Lord. That's where Rashi learns the case. However, both the Baal HaMor and the Ramban in the back of the Gemara quote another parish of the Gemara in the name of the Rav of Beis Din. The Rav of Beis Din is also a Ravad, right? Reish Aleph Beis Dalet, but he's not the Ravad, okay? In terms of our pronunciation. He's not the Ravad who argues with the Ramban back and forth, but rather he's the Ravad's father-in-law, who is also a Rav Avraham, but not a Rav Avraham ben David, Reish Aleph Beis Dalet, but a Rav Avraham of Beis Din. Okay? So it's the same acronym, so the abbreviation of a different person. He's the author of the Sefer HaEshkol. There is a Risham, he's also from Provence. He was the father-in-law of the Ravid, and he had a different parish on this Gemara. He said that the Gemara is related to Adim, that the Lova paid back the Malva. They're not Adim that the Malva lent the money, they are Adim that the Lova paid back the Malva. That Lova was, they are Adim not on the existence of the loan, but they are Adim on the payment, but the other way around. That the Lova is Moda, the Lova admits he hasn't paid back the loan. Okay? So it's not Adim on the creation of the loan, they are Adim that the Lova admits that he hasn't paid the Malva. And now, the moment the Lova admits that he hasn't paid the Malva, now the Arev comes into the picture. Now, these Adim are basically saying that the Arev now owes money. And this Arev is their relative. Okay? And that is the case where Rav Huna, the Rebbe of Yeshua, says to Rav Papa, that the moment that the Lova says, I don't owe the money, yes, the Lova, Rav Basar Arva Asa Malva, isn't the Malva now going to come to the Arev? Why did the Rav Avbez did not learn like Rashi. The Rav Avbez was aware of Rashi's pshat. Pshuto shel Gemara is Rashi's pshat. They're talking about Edim of the Ron. Why did the Rav Avbez move it from Edim of the Ron to Edim that the Rav admitted that he doesn't owe the money? That is a machlokes between the Baal Hamor and the Ramban. Why the Rav Avbez did not learn like Rashi? And here, the Baal Hamor and Ramban go in totally different directions. The Ramban says, okay, we'll start with the Ramban, that in the case of Rashi, according to Rav Avbez, we would not need Palginan. In the case of Rashi, we would not need Palginan. That in the case of Rashi, we have over here two stories. Story number one, the Malva lent money to the Lover. Story number two, our relative is the Arev. And so, it's obvious that they believed on the loan and not be believed on the Arev. There's nothing to do with Palginan. Two different stories. According to the Baal Hamor, it's because in the case of Rashi, Palginan would not work. It's one story that we cannot break. Saying that the Malva lent money to the Lova and the Arev is our relative is one story. And since they are not Ne'eman, the Gabe the Arev, they are not Ne'eman that the money was lent to the Lova. Mashenk and Rashi understand that this is an issue of Palginan, and here we have a machokes between Rav Papa and Rav Yeshua and Rav Yeshua, do we say Palginan or not? Namely,
we pointed out that we have over here three categories. We have three types of issues that we're dealing with in the world of testimony. Sometimes we have a situation where the Edom tell two stories. It's obvious that we believe in story A, we don't believe in story B. Sometimes it's obvious that Edom tell one story and there's no way of splitting. And sometimes you have a case where the Edom tell one story which lends itself to be divided into two, and that's a machlokes between Rava and Rav Yosef. So if we ask ourselves, let's say the following story.
Okay.
Let's take the following story. Plony, Hilva, Kesef, Le Amoni, Ve Ha'arev, Hu Krovenu. This is what we're going to testify. We saw Plony lend money to Amoni on the condition that our Korov be the Arev. How do we view this testimony in this framework? So that's the machlokes between the Ramban, the Baal Hamor, and Rashi. The same case. The question is, where do you place it? The Ramban says that here, clearly, we have two stories. Plony Nova Kesef Ba'amoni, story number one. Story number two. So clearly, we believe them on X, we don't believe them on Y. So that can't be shot at the Gemara. The Gemara has a machlokes between a Papa and Rav, whom the Rav of Yeshua, we believe them or not. That can't be the case. I mean, that's why the Rav of Benz gave a different case. According to the Baal Hamor, this case clearly is one story. The Lova and the Arev, that's all one and the same. The Lova and the Arev, in other words, I have one Mahova who is going to be the collector, and we have an Arev / Lova who is going to be the payer. And to the moment that we're in this story, I am possible, I'm possible for the whole story. Masha ain't, right? So that's so, according to that, I can't keep shouting tomorrow. We have a Mahovas between but Rashi learned this as part of the Gemara. So now Rashi understood this is a classic case of Palginan Dibura, where Rav Papa holds like Rav Yosef, Lo Palginan Dibura, and Rav Huna Brody of Yeshua holds, Rav Papa holds like Rava, that Palginan Dibura, and Rav Huna Brody of Yeshua holds like Rav Yosef, Lo Palginan Dibura, that here we have room for a question should we view this all as one story, or can we view this as two stories? Okay, so even though the Ramban pointed out that clearly we have three categories, but what fits into the categories could be, you know, that's what's somewhat unclear. Okay? Just as an aside, we're not learning the sugya currently of Ova and Arev, but can you come up with a chakira that would explain the distinction between the Bahamor and the Ramban, why would there be a polar opposites as to whether we view the Arev and the Rova as one story, or whether we view the Arev and the Rova as two stories? Yes?
The Arev has the same view as the Rova. So
now, the question is, where does the guarantor come into the world of the loan? After all, the money was lent to the Rova. Why in the world should the guarantor pay on money which is being lent to the Rova? So, one understanding is that he is really coming in from left field. He is being mitchayev, he is obligating himself voluntarily to get involved in a situation in which he is really not involved. The money is being given over to the Rova, and he, out of the goodness of his heart, is agreeing to pay a debt if the Rova defaults. Why in the world would a person do that? They have a concept of asmachta, that if a person never intends to pay, a person simply says something that's clearly never means it, that it doesn't have any meaning at all. So the Gemara says, this person is interested in his standing in society, and that people will view him as a tzaddik yisod olam, that people will view him as someone who wants to help down the poor and the downtrodden. Right? The people will view him as someone who is out to enable people to have a second chance in life, etc., etc. For that, he's willing to obligate himself. He's willing to obligate himself because his reputation now is being raised within the community. That's one approach. And there are Gemaras that seem to use that language. But what's another approach? That halachically, we view it as though the money was given from the Malva to the Arev, and the Arev gave it to the Lova. Namely, the Arev is obligated because it's as though he receives the loan. He is, not obligated as an outsider whose interest over here is purely somewhat altruistic, but rather he's obligated because he is the Lova. Halachically, he is the Lova. It's as though here's the Malva, here's the Lova. The money went from the Malva to the Arev, and then the Arev gave to the Lova. So now, either the Lova will pay it back, and if the Lova doesn't pay it back, the Arev was the one who ki'ilu received the money, that's why he should pay it back. And this is what Michael pointed out. What's the relationship between the Arev and the Lova? So according to the Ramban, the Arev is coming from left field. Right? We have a Malva and a Lova, that's one story. And then we have this other person who's coming in from left field, obligating himself in a case where he has no connection at all, for purposes of reputation. So a person can be believed on story one and not be believed on story two. Mashayin, according to the Baal Hamor, this is one story. The Arev is the Rova. You can't distinguish between the Arev and the Rova. They are both receiving money. They are both have to pay because they both relate to the Malva. So you can't break this story. This is one story in which the Arev is, in which these Adim, Ilya and Tuvia, are related to the loan, to the receiver of the money. It's built into the loan itself. And Rashi is unclear what his opinion is, but he views this as something that could be viewed as one, could be viewed as two. This exactly is the question of the Gemara. Perhaps the question of the Gemara is, how do you view it? Or maybe the question of the Gemara is something else, we're not really sure. But Rashi takes it out of these two extremes. Rashi brings it back into the world of Pagina Mimura. In other words, we have over here, in syntax, Ploni Hilva Kesef Le'almoni, that's it, Be'arvut Krovi, right? Ploni Hilva Kesef Le'almoni Be'arvut Krovi. And then the question is this one story or two stories? This is similar to Ploni Havani Lurizoni. This is similar to Ploni Havani Bamon Duridis. Okay? So the fact that the Ramban breaks this up into three cases doesn't solve all our issues. We're still going to have on each case you know, other factors that will determine does it fit into category A, does it fit into category B, does it fit into category C? Yes?
How would, according to Al Mora,
So the Baal HaMor moves this over to the world of the Ra'avad, right? The Rav Avbezin. According to the Rav Avbezin, the testimony of Il'ah and of Tuya is they say that Almoni Hoga Shelo Shilaim Leproni. Shelo Shilaim Halva'ato Leproni. That's the case, right? That Almoni Ha Shelo Shilaim Halva'ato Leproni. And that in this case, according to the Baal HaMor,
Ding Machayev
Tov. So the question is, can we say Almoni Hoda? So he's basically saying over here, Halova Adayin Chayav VeHa'arev Adayin Nimtza Batmuna. So can we say that his testimony is basically up to here? This part is believed, and this part is not believed. He'll be believed klape the lower. He won't be believed klape the arev. Or do we say that we can't? But again, this is case number two. Here we have one story, which can be divided into two. According to Tosfos, right, we have two parties, the Lova and the Arev. According to the Ra'ah and the Ramban, we have two stories, the Lova's obligation and the Arev's obligation. In other words, the continuity of the Lova's obligation and the continuity of the Arev's obligation. Again, to create the loan, there the Arev and the Lova are one and the same, according to the Baal HaMor. Once the loan is already created, who is going to be responsible for paying back? So here the question is, can we divide or not? This is where the Rav of Beis Din differs from Rashi. He's not talking about the creation of the loan, which according to the Baal HaMor, the loan is created with the Arev / Lova in the picture. You can't take the Arev out of the picture of what is created. But now, once the loan has already been created, can we say that we'll divide the testimony that the Lova is still in the picture, but not necessarily that the Arev is still in the picture? Okay? So that's what the Rav Beis Din does with his story. Right? In other words, that the Rav Beis Din, according to the Baal HaMor, helps the possibility of dividing, or according to the Ramban, the Rav Beis Din's case is just the opposite. It's combining as opposed to dividing. That's really the Baal HaMor and the Ramban. That's what they speak about. What was the Rav Beis Din trying to accomplish with his learning of Gemara? Was he trying to turn it from category 1 to category 2? Or turning it from category 3 to category 2? Which way is the Rav Beis Din entering into the picture? But the difference is that according to them, either the original story Vada was one story, or the original story Vada was two stories. And then when the Lova is murdered, what is he doing? Is he turning two stories back into one? Or he's taking one story and allowing it to be divided into two? Okay? So again, the categories exist, but the application of the categories is still very, very open. So far, so good? Okay. There's also one shot that we're going to see. The question is, did you reach it yet in your own learning? The Rimigash. Did you get to Rimigash? Who got to Rimigash? Aside from Michael. Two. Okay. So let's start the Rimigash, and then we'll continue the Rimigash next time and expand into the Rambam. Generally, the Rambam, many times, the Rambam's Perush would fit in with the Migash, not always, but many times yes, because he was the Rebbe of the Rambam's father, and the Rambam's Rebbe was his father. He didn't learn like in the Yeshiva of Yatosos, he learned in the Yeshiva of Chachmei Sfarad. He was on his own. The Rambam had a Rebbe, his father, but the two of them were not linked in. In other words, the Migash was a student of the Rif.
And it was a tradition that the Rambam had. There was a Masoret, but he wasn't part of a school that lent itself to a cross-pollinization like within the Balei HaTosos. So you have the Rim, the Rosh Mishans, and the Ronatan, and the Rivot. You know, there was a whole school arguing in the Medina, Chachmisvara, the Ramban, and the Ra'ah, and the Ritva, and the Rashba. You have schools. And the Rambam was not a school. The Rambam was an individual we see from an individual we see from an individual. To a large degree, it was a tradition, right? From but let's say you have, and I was applying at students, right? So we had the student. And he has his students, his own two children, and there were other students that obviously it's on the Meltzer, you have a group of students who went and have different permutations on what Chaim may have meant. Okay. So what does the Rimigash say? Maybe before the Rimigash, I'm sorry. Before the Rimigash, where do we have? Okay. We pointed out that in and Nusim Mach Mas Mama. So here, everyone agrees we don't say Pagi Dibur. The Gemara says, Anusim Mach Mas Mama, this whole thing falls out. We can't say Anusim/Mach Mas Mama. So why do we not say Pagi Dibur? So here we saw, so there are two reasons. Tosfos says, because we have one person. They're made on themselves. There's no other part. We saw according to the Ra'ah and the Ritva, because we have two stories. We have only one story. We have one story that can't be divided. Right? That would be number three. Look at the Ramban himself. You have the Ramban in front of you. What? The Ramban says. Ramban, good one. And the Shita Mukubetis, Ramban Kosav. Look at the fourth line. The fourth line. It says, Neima, right? Anusi machmas mamon, ka'osa sha'amu ploni revo'o beretzono huva achim etztarfim lohodo, mishum pagina dibura. Why don't we say pagina dibura in the anusi machmas mamon? We say pagina dibura in the world of ploni revani beretzono, k'nizo perek zebora b'sanhedrin, really it's not perek zebora, it's our perek. Uva perek keitzad b'yivamos gabi es isha haraktiv. Haraginu ne'eman hu shepagina divura ne'eman shevesa v'lo sheharago ikal lemehar. So one can say the hacha v'hasam pagina divura u'mekayimem ikal ha'edus shehu ksav yadeinu huze u'meit ploni v'chein ozik revisa v'lo mehemen ki amar tu l'dudi v'shirem sahaduza v'mado amar ozif v'revisa. That we can take one story and not the other story. Bechein ploni revo l'ritzono, mehemon de ploni revo, v'lo nehemon lomar l'ritzono. Ukeman de omar, in other words, it's as though the person said, ploni revo stam, chashmin amlei. Namely, he's looking basically off of the Ra'ah and the Ritva, that we have two stories. We have Ploni Rava, and we have the Rava'o. We have over here a perpetrator, a victim. There are two stories that we can distinguish between them. The Hachanami, says Ramban, Al Iker Eidus Shuhu Bala Ha'id Alei Ne'eman, De Paginan Dibure. It's on the Ksavya Deinu who said, he will say Paginan Dibure, because that's a separate story. However, Lo Paginan Dibure Ba'onis. We can't say on the Anusim Hayinu Pagina Dibure. Diina Hemna Mlach the Onus Haya, Al Korcha Machmas Maman Haya, Shekach Hu Omer. The Ein Anu Yechorim Omar Onus Nefashos Hu, Shehaya, the Anan Lo Amina Mai the Lo Omar Ilu. We can't say, what would the Pagina Dibure say? Well, when you live Anusim Hayinu, you were forced. Don't believe the Machmas Mama. That would be saying, believe them, anusim hayinu mapas nefashos, that we were forced in the heter, and not that we were forced be iser. That's what we'd like to say, Pagun and Dibura. Why don't we say Pagun and Dibura? So the Ramban says that we can't say that which they didn't say. The whole thing has to fall off. What's the Ramban pointing out over here? What is the chisara in anusim hayinu machmas mamon that we don't have in Goni Rivani or Itzoni, that we don't have in Ploni Hilvavi Keset Beribis? Then what the Ramban is doing is breaking this off from the Gemara Baba Basra Kuflamedalet. Tosfos was working off of that Gemara Chabrutva. The Ra'ah and the Ramban were working off of the Ra'ah and the Ritva were working off that Gemara Chagufa. Tosfos understood Chagufa Chagava, and the Ra'ah and the Ritva understood Chagufa one story. The Ramban's going in a different direction. The Ramban says this Gemara in Ksuvus Yudkas Adais stands on its own. It's its own category. What can we not do in Pagin and Dibura? Pagin and Dibura we can delete, but we can't change. Pagin and Dibura allows us to leave out, you know, right? We can leave out Ploni Rava Yeretzoni, Lira Pagin Yeretzoni. When we have the Ploni Hilva Likesef, leave out the Uli, right? We can leave out a word. We can leave out a phrase, Ploni Mate Ani Haraktiv. We can leave out Ani Haraktiv, just Ploni Mate. But we can't change something. We can't turn an anusim machmas mamon into anusim machmas nefashos. We can't change what they say. We can limit what they say. We can delete. We can't change. And over here, the word anusim has no meaning unless we are forced. It doesn't mean anything. You have to understand forced by what? So they weren't forced by money. No, they were forced by nefashos, but they never said that. So it's not a question over here of believing, it's a question of interpreting. And Pagin and Dibur doesn't allow us to interpret, it allows us to delete. That's what I'm about. Very, very beautiful. I remember when I learned this sugya by Kutzdin, he said it's all the name of the Rav. Maybe it's in the Jewish Shuri Rav. But the Rambam is saying it. I mean, yes?
I don't remember, that was
50
years ago.
Okay, yeah. So, who did that as well? And said this Svara in the name of the Rav, but I think it's the Ramban. I'd rather say, I mean, the Rav may have agreed with the Ramban, but I'd rather say the name of the Ramban rather than say the name of the Rav. Okay, so we'll stop over here. What I'd like you to see next time is the Rimgash. If we have over here so far three approaches, I tell us first, the Ra'ah slash Ritva and the Ramban, the Rimagash is a totally, totally, totally different approach. So to see the Rimagash's approach, and then I'll give you Mara Makom and Yitz Hashem to continue into the Rambam. And there's, I think, a Mishnah Lamalech on the Rambam. Who will continue, you know, in pull us in a different direction. So then I'll give you the Mara Makom later this morning. Okay? Okay, let's have a look. Thank you.